And we're live.
Hey guys, it's Brian Ozone here, and you're in the driver's seat with me for another podcast of Masters of the Galaxy. Flying solo here again for a little while until producer Dirt, he's going to come hang out and have a little fun with me. So just getting closer, inching our way back to PowerCon. It's in 2 weeks. I'm stoked. I can't wait. As we get closer and closer, it's like Christmas morning. I'm sure other people have the same feeling or can relate to how I feel right now. It's the only show that I really get my hopes up, and I'm never let down. You know, between the fans, the panels, merchandise, and it's just all around awesome. With that being said, Val Staples actually did his little hand modeling the other day and showed off the new portfolio we're getting for the PowerCon exclusive, the Errol McCarthy. And it looks awesome. I actually didn't watch the whole thing. I just I sneak previewed it real quick and turned it off. So it's kind of a surprise when I go and get it in my hands. I absolutely love these portfolios they're doing. I think it's a great thing. Too bad it's so much time since they actually did it has passed. We could have maybe gotten different artwork or scrapwork, you know, things that didn't quite make it when they actually were doing it back in the day with Rudy Obrero, Errol McCarthy, and third. Jesus, oh man, it'll come to me in a little bit, but we are gonna after PowerCon we will have three portfolios of the artists, and it's actually a cool thing to have. I mean, besides the art books and the art boxes, magazines, whatever, this is a really cool homage to the artists. It's giving them the platform, which I think in the respect that they need, because they were a big influence and a big part of the lore of the product, because this is what you saw first, you know, before opening up the toy, you know, walking down the aisle, you saw the box artwork, and it stood out. You know, and then you have your questions and stuff like that, like the Castle Grayskull, like why is Beastman, I believe, with the good guys? You know, you have all these question marks and whatnot. But, you know, it back then, I believe that pretty much was a question mark. The artists were giving a certain amount of material and then they went with it. You know, a perfect example is Zodak. Originally, he was supposed to be evil. And then he transpired to be the neutral cosmic enforcer. And I believe Manny Faces was supposed to be bad as well. He actually was kind of evil, if I'm not mistaken, in the DC miniseries, the three-parter that they first came out with, which I absolutely love. I think that's my favorite. The Sword and Sorcery, I absolutely love that. The way that they talk, like the Vikings speech, I think that's really, really my absolute favorite part of Masters. I wish they would do more with that. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that like the science and technology aspect that came later on, and you had Duncan at the forefront with that, making all these crazy things and getting recognition for Roboto. Mechaneck, couldn't spit that one out, guys. Sorry, the Sword and Sorcery, to me, it's just I don't know, the aspect of it and the language, and it just, to me, it was a better version, because you know these pretty much were barbarians, so to me that's the way they would act and speak and do things. With the technology aspect, it could have been, you know, anything. Anybody could have done it or whatever. So to me, it made it more real, and it, to me, it fit the bill better. It was just really, really cool to that. And then they kind of I don't know why, but they stepped like away from that with the as the mini comics progressed, and then Filmation came out with the toned down He-Man. Battle Cat wasn't as arrogant and crazy like he was. And well, me personally, I'm not a big fan of Battle Cat speaking. I think he's MYP did a great job with making him not speak. And if we do get any other further comics movie or show, I hope that they keep him from speaking. Same thing with Orko. I mean, I know there's a lot of Orko fans. I like that they downplay him a lot. I'm not a big fan of his silly stupidity. It just to me, it's it worked with Filmation because they were aiming at kids. But if you're gonna do a more adult-like storylines, you can have him there, but not so much as the comic relief or a bumbling idiot, the court jester type guy. I mean, he could fill that role, but you don't have to have him as a complete idiot. To me, I took a lot out of away from the show and the storylines. I didn't. Wasn't really a fan of that. I can really just do away with that. That and Battle Cat speaking. Swiftwind, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but I believe he gets away with it. He's not like a I don't, it, to me, I'm okay with him talking. He's not, I don't think it would be right if he didn't talk. For some reason, if that makes any sense at all, but I'm a fan of him with speech. I think it kind of makes She-Ra the whole story complete. It's just because then you have Cal. His speech didn't bother me as much as the other animals that can talk with their annoying squeaky voices or whatever. I don't even know where I'm going with it. So I'm just gonna change gears here for a little bit. I forgot I even bought these things. I actually have the complete set, and to me this is probably, I would say, one of my absolute favorite pieces is the Masters of the Universe role-playing game. If you guys can get your hands on it, definitely do. It is. I see. I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons, and to me, I that's probably another reason why I love the sword and sorcery aspect of Masters, because it just brings it to life. And role playing game, which is cool, is that you get a comic book with it as well. It's like a black and white comic, and it kind of like it's an introduction to the game. It sets it off. It sets the premise and whatnot. Along with the like back like you know I probably even today with Dungeons and Dragons, they made the little metal figures, like the Grenadier figures that they even made Masters of the Universe, and you can act them out as you play. You put your figure or your little guy on the table, and it kind of makes it more real. What I did, me and my friends, we actually went a step further with that. We actually included the figures. And we, my friend, I think I mentioned this last time. My friend Mike painted my friend Alex's basement. He had this huge room that basically was doing nothing. So we cleared it out, cleaned it up, and my friend Mike, the artist that he is, he painted islands, rivers, oceans, mountains, and then on the walls, mountain cliff sides. Stuff like that, and it made the playing field more realistic. It was like a 3D type thing, and it was big enough to use the figures that it didn't get lost. It was pretty much scaled out good. And that's what I do. When I would battle my figures, I roll the dice. That's what I do. It's all fair, and whatever the dice rolls out, it's the only outcome, and it's you can't be you're biased that way, because now it's out of your hands, sort of. You're still coming up with the ideas of what to do, but now that you're rolling a die, it's out of your hands if it's going to happen or not. And it makes things more interesting, especially if you're doing it by yourself. You know, if you're like me, a 39-year-old man, you're not going to call up your boys and tell them, come over and let's, play some Masters of the Universe. It's not like we're kindergartners anymore or stuff like that. So, and the excitement of imagination and stuff like that, left a while ago too, to actually just bust out toys and play with them. I mean, I could do it for a minute or two, and then it's just my mind travels. But when you're doing it with the dice, for some reason it holds on. Because again, like I said, you don't know what's going to happen. You come up with the idea, like, Skeletor is going to strike He-Man with his Havoc Staff Blast or something like that. Or, He-Man goes to, or Prince Adam goes to transform into He-Man, and then you roll the dice and does it happen? Or, if you don't get the certain number or whatever you want to, whatever you want to make a number, a special number, a magic number, or a couple of numbers, or whatever side dice you're going to use, 4 side, 6, 8, 10, 12, 32, whatever it is. You set the boundaries of what you're going to do. And then again, it makes it more interesting because now it's out of your hand. And, that's what I do. And to me, it makes it more fun because you can actually play by yourself as well. Because you're not like, oh, I'm going to do this, and it automatically happens. No, you roll the dice. If you don't get the magic number, me and my friends, we had magic numbers for 3, 7. Those are the magic numbers, and on a 20-sided dice. So, if you got those, it was like an automatic victory. You whatever you said, you got. But you can set your own rules. And again, there's so many different side dices. There's just, I don't know, 20 different types of dices that I know of. And now they actually even have dice that has body parts, arms, legs, head, torso, whatever. So you can actually even roll that to see where you hit them. So that's just another step forward of the unknown that you can play with. They have there's just so many different types. The best thing to do, you go to eBay, type in Dungeons and Dragons dice, or just dice and period, and you'll see all the different types of dice there are. If you go to the comic book shop, you can get the it's like a little plastic box, and it has the 4-sided, a 6-sided, 8-sided, 20, 10, I believe. So you can start out like that. Make your own rules. And to me, it's fun. It really is fun because you can take any premise from any storyline, whether it be from the comic, cartoon, movie, anything, and with the roll of the dice, you completely change everything. And you can go on and on and on and on with this. And you never know. You can actually finally kill off Skeletor, or actually send him back to you can send him to the Spondos, or whatever dimension you want to. Or you can make like unholy alliances. You can make the bad with the good and the good with the bad, because they need to overcome something powerful. They need to find a relic, and unfortunately this guy may have the power to help. So it's a lot, it's cool, it's a lot of fun. It's an idea for you guys to try out. I mean, that's what I do. It's just another way of interacting with the toys and having fun with them. We're all pretty much all aging men, as I'll put it. So we're not kids anymore. So a lot easier to get caught by your wife and say you're playing Dungeons and Dragons than the actual toys. So it's just an idea I wanted to share with you guys. I think it's kind of cool. And like I said, I've been playing this style for 9, so I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons since I was like 8, 9 or whatever, and so I kept the spirit alive with that. And again, like I said, you can even use the Grenadier figures. They even made, back in the day, Marvel made role-playing games with TSR, and they made the metal figures as well to go along with the game, so you can act out, move the figure on the whatever playing board they have or whatever. And again, like I said, like now you have, the classics figures, you play the vintage, the new adventures, whatever. And you have the play sets, you have the vehicles, you have the tools in front of you. You just use your imagination. And my imagination now lies in the fate of a dice. And I think it's a cool way to play. I think it's something cool. It's know about it. When I tell people about it, they're kind of intrigued or want to know more. Because they never played Dungeons and Dragons, or some people I know, their parents wouldn't want to play with it because back in the 80s it was linked to devil worshiping or bad stuff like that, which totally was not in my book. My parents let me play and stuff, but if you guys have any ideas or how you guys interact with your toys and figures, share it with us on the Facebook page, on the Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. I think other people would enjoy it, and you might give some other people ideas of what to do instead of just staring at their figures, if play with them. So, like I said, we're not little kids anymore. We just can't call it Bob or Jimmy or Timmy and come over. It's I think our wives and kids and stuff like that would look at us kind of strange, drinking beers and stuff and playing with He-Man figures. But it's just another way to do it. And like I said, it's something you could do by yourself. You really don't even need another person if you don't want. You can shut the door in the toy room and have at it. Dice are fairly cheap. I mean, you can actually get a, on eBay, you can check it out. They got lots of like 50, 100, 20 different types of dice, all on, $5. But again, if you go to the comic shop, they have the little cube with whatever it is, 6, 8, 10 different types of die in it, and start out from there. You can go online, I believe, and get like the Dungeons and Dragons, what they call it though, character sheet, I believe it's called, or something like that, and you can imitate that or change things around to make it the way you want it to be. And it's just an idea. It's kind of cool. But it just came to me because, like I said, I just came across a thing I bought a little while ago. It's just a couple of game pieces and stuff from the role playing game, and it's got a hold on a second, let me fix the camera, and let me get maybe some light in here. Hold on with me. I don't know if that helps. Probably don't. But, this is that's Fisto, and that's what his character sheet looks like. And we got. Let me see who else we got here. See if we got anybody really interesting. We got Fisto, Man at Arms, Orko, Ram Man, and He-Man and Teela. I'll show you He-Man. I forget if there's any more. My set's downstairs in my He-Man room. That's excuse me, completely uninhabitable right now because I'm building a recording studio and I got all my equipment and stuff in there. So this is He-Man's. And that's what the character sheet looks like. So you have your strength, your agility, intelligence, life force, magic, movement points, and then you have you can fill it out any way you want. And then it says possessions, magic sword, which is his power sword. And it said can deflect any direct magic with success roll of 7 or better on 2 dice. So that's what I'm saying. With the dice, you can make up your own rules. You can have what you want, and make it how you want it to be made. It's your game. It's your rules. And then we have some game pieces here. I get some of them out. Some of them are just, generic monsters with weird names. And then you got Trapjoy, He-Man, Orko, Teela, Evil-Lyn. Here, I'll show you. Here's the He-Man. And where's Skelly so I can show him at the same time? Here we are. All right. And then what you do is with these, you'd fold them up and you move them like a game piece, like any other board game. Hold on a second. Let me try to do this like none. That's Skeletor. And then we have He-Man, Evil-Lyn, Orko, my favorite, Teela, Tequila. It's cool because she's like the goddess there, you know? And then we have Duncan, Beastman. You see, you could fold them up, you know? They weren't never folded yet, so I didn't do it either. We got Fisto here. Here. Whiplash, which is kind of cool, you know? I don't really see him involved with the bad guys, Merman, and good old Trapjaw. I think, like I said, I forget if these are the complete sets. There may be some missing. I forget. I like I said, I need to get my box out. Ever see the role playing game? Definitely pick it up. It's really a cool piece to have. You get the comic, like I said. You get all the game pieces. You get dice. There is a game board, and it has like treasures and stuff like that. You can put all over it to find, use weapons. So it's kind of really cool. And if you never played Dungeons and Dragons, it's not like you need to know how to play that to play this. So it's pretty wicked. And it's definitely a good thing to pick up to have in your collection. They're kind of rare, actually, if you can get a really decent set, complete, not used, the pieces not being bent or whatever. And that's something that you can even play with your friends if you want. I love it. I mean, I never used my set. I actually have the complete set, and I had a set for a long time, but it's not complete, so I just put it all in one box. So maybe with that and these pieces, I might have two sets now. I'm not sure. But yeah, if you it's definitely a piece to it. And the artwork is pretty cool too. That's on the box and in the comic. It's definitely one of my favorites because, like I said, it's something that I always played since a child. And Dragons and He-Man, I think it's a cool mix. I think it works fine. I think TSR made it. I'm not sure. I forget. You don't see it often. So what I suggest to do is on your eBay, type in He-Man, Masters of the Universe, MOTU, role-playing game, and then follow it. So if it ever pops up, boom, it'll show up in your eBay, my eBay, whatever. Take a look. You can always piece them together too. Like I said, like this, the pieces I just showed you, I bought in a lot. I got it with a bunch of like mini comics and stuff like that. I got it cheap. So you do come across it because people don't even know what it is. Because it's not that widely known. You just see these pieces, you don't know what it is, what it's from. So people just tend to kind of give it away for absolutely nothing. And you could probably piece it together pretty quickly and pretty fairly. To get the box complete or sealed, you may pay a pretty penny, not even a pretty penny, close to 100, maybe a little over. But my suggestion, if you are interested, is to follow it. That's what I do with everything. My buddy Tom Ace taught me that. It's a good tool to have on your side because, like I said, you can pop in all these names for one thing, and then whatever comes across, they do like the mega cross search, and they'll find it for you. So it does all the work. So you're not up all night searching for this one particular thing, and blah blah blah. I've done that for years. That is definitely something I think that everybody would enjoy, from the ultimate collector to even just starting out. I think it's a cool thing to have. It's not big. It doesn't take up a lot of space or a lot of room. It's pretty much the size of like color forms, I believe. Not the deluxe color forms, like the regular size from the back in the day. So I think that's pretty much the same size. And it's a cool display piece. Like I said, the artwork on the box is really, really cool. I like it. If you go into PowerCon, you never know, you may find it there. Sometimes the vendors have some pretty cool vintage stuff, and that's the stuff that I hunt. So it's you can find some pretty cool gems there. They definitely have gotten better over the years. Remember in the beginning, it was pretty much all classic stuff that they were selling, and it's like we just bought this month and they're selling. So I was disappointed that 1 year it was all everything was classics. And I was so mad because I brought all this money to buy stuff and I went home with all the money. Like I didn't even buy that much stuff. There was nothing really to buy. And after that year, it's just a lot of the vendors were getting a lot of vintage stuff, and it's great. It's really great. There's just so much back in the day that they sold with the Masters brand on it, and now you can go there and pretty much get something from. I believe the last show they had. My buddy, his vending or his co company. I don't know if that's even the right term, but Tunes for Toys. He had some Japanese Master Comics. He had some really cool stuff, some really really cool stuff. It amazes me where these guys find the stuff. I don't even know, it's hard. That's the one thing that sucks about New York City is that we don't have swap meets, we don't have any of that stuff. So to go somewhere and find stuff like that, it's great out in the open instead of going online, whether it's like eBay or you actually go to the forums and the marketplaces and trade and buy whatever. It's just something out in the open and in the wild. It's just so much more fun. It's because even if you, especially if you find like something like extremely rare, and you get it for a steal, like a steal. For example, I remember Joe Amato. He found the I forget what two-pack it was, and he found it at his local. And he his local flea market, and he always was saying, "I never find anything. I never get anything." And then he called me up. He's like, "I'll never believe what I found." And I was like, "What?" And he told me, and I was like, "Wow, that's really, really cool." And then I explained to him that, we don't have any of that stuff here. It's unfortunate. I mean, you might have people from their houses selling stuff, but almost, 9 out of 10, or it's dear odds that are completely against you. There's nothing there. It's just old beat up records that suck. Clothes. You'll never find something good. At least I haven't. I'm another Joe. But my day will come. I remember actually, geez, 15 years ago, a buddy of mine. We well, a buddy of mine, a buddy of his, has a house in Connecticut, and he invited us up there because we were playing the role playing game with the toys. So he converted his basement too. So we made a weekend out of it, and I got introduced to the playing field. We started playing, drinking, having fun, and he goes, "Don't get too wasted because we're going shopping in the morning." I didn't listen to him. I got whacked. And we, geez, I would say 10, 15 different flea markets, indoor, outdoor, swap meets. It was insane. And was able to get a Wonder Bread He-Man for $1.99. A real Wonder Bread He-Man. That's pretty sweet. That was a good deal. I forget what else I got. I got a some other just figures. It was nothing crazy. At the time, I wasn't really collecting like in the box stuff because I think I was still living home with my parents. Oh, geez, it was longer than 15 years ago. It was like 20 years ago. It was like 19, 20. So yeah, this was a long, long time ago. But yeah, I did see some really good stuff. And always wanted to go back, but I never did. We never did make it back there. I don't know why, but it just wasn't meant to be, I guess. But Sorry, guys, my phone's my iPad's going nuts with eBay. I don't know why I'm getting all these things from them. But yeah, I mean, you guys should definitely check out your flea markets or house sales and stuff like that, because you never know what you can find. You can definitely find amazing stuff. Like I said, I found the Wonder Bread for $1.99 in Connecticut. Sick the stuff you can get, especially if you find it was like a storage for a toy store from the 80s or the 90s, and then they decided to sell the stuff and they have no idea what the prices are of it or how much they actually go for. So you're buying an Eternia, well, maybe not the original one, but like Starship Eternia for like $20 sealed in a box near mint. You can't pass it up. Even if you don't like New Adventures, you can't pass that up. I mean, even if you just want it with the intent of reselling it, you can make profit without even trying to make a profit. I mean, it's just, I really wish that we had stuff like that here. I really do. It's just sad. It's like I said, the hunt, man, it's like we're hunters and gatherers, right? We're supposed to be hunting. So I love it. I really do. I wish that we had, we still had something in the stores. We do have something in the stores, actually. Those little Lego construction, mega construction figures hit the stores. I got mine. I didn't open mine yet. I'm gonna open mine after the show. They look great. The only thing I don't like is that they didn't come. Well, He-Man didn't come with a shield, I believe. I don't think I saw it. I thought he should have came with his three weapons. That would have been great. And Skeletor, I'm not sure if he comes with his sword or not. I forget. But that'd be cool if he came with his sword too. I wish they'd come back with the halves of the Power Sword. I missed that storyline. I thought that storyline was cool. I don't know why Filmation didn't run with it. I think that they could have did justice to that, and it could have opened up to more storylines and more episodes. I think they could have went deeper and darker into that. Not so much darker, but just deeper. Sorry. To see their aspect and perspective on it, I think it would have been really fun. I think Lou Schirmer would have did a good job at it. I like it. I think it was a good idea to have the two halves to unlock Castle Grayskull if you don't have the power within to do it. So I thought that was pretty cool, and it actually gave you like the ultimate underlying storyline. You could still have your little arcs here and there, but the main storyline that would always be there is to connect the two halves, unify the Power Sword and Grayskull and get the secrets. So I liked it. I thought it was a good idea. Again, that's something that didn't transpire along with the sword and sorcery. It's just something as time and progression it went on that kind of dribbled away. Even with the new DC comics that were out last year, Eternity Wars and things like that, I was really hoping that they would have went with the sword and sorcery way. I wasn't thrilled with how they made the characters act. I really wish they would have had them more barbaric in nature. I think it would have fit it more better. Maybe the fans would have liked it more. Maybe it would still be out today if they did that way. And the one thing that I really despised that whole DC thing was there was no Prince Adam anymore. To me, it was weird. It, I don't know, something about it was just off. Not a lot of people that like the Adam aspect, but it to me it made the story a little more. It gave you that Clark Kent, Superman, Bruce Wayne, Batman feeling. You have two separate lives, and it's funny because you can have Prince Adam, in the courtyard or in the Royal Chambers, everybody's talking about He-Man. And vice versa, you have He-Man and everybody's talking about the Cowardly Prince. So he's getting all the information he needs about both characters from the same people, from his peers. So it to me it was good. I liked that they had that. I thought it was a good idea. To not have it, it's kind of strange. It's very different. But again, it's something some people get stuck in their ways. I admit it, there's things that I'm stuck in that I like more than others or least than others or what have you. It's everybody has their own unique opinion about things. And with you have, they may get in depth with more characters, like NYP. They put the spotlight on Mechaneck for a few episodes, Count Marzo for a few episodes. Ran Man was a predominant figure, and I think they did him justice. I think they didn't make him a 4 foot dwarf. They made him, a 6'7", 6'10", 7 footer, powerhouse, gigantic dude, which he should be. So then, the cliche, box of rocks. Bodybuilders are all a box of rocks. So I think they hit the nail on the head with him. I enjoyed his on NYP. I also like Stratos. I think they did a great progression with Stratos. I love the Sean Connery voice. I think it fit him awesome. I thought that was perfect for him. I was just waiting for him to bust out his kilt and bagpipes. That'd have been cool. And there, as the show would have went on with the introduction of Clamp Champ and the Horde, I think even it would have gotten a lot better, because the Man at Arms is a snake man now. Mechaneck was a snake man. So now you don't have those two guys as heroic warriors or the masters or whatever you want to call them. So you'd have to bring in new players like Clamp Champ would probably take over for Man at Arms. He'd be the new Man at Arms, I believe. And, that would make room for, I don't know, whoever's next in line, Stendar. Real blast. Who knows? It could have been, the door opening for anybody. I mean, eventually we probably would have gotten everybody on the roster at some point in time if the show kept going, which I'm still upset that the show isn't on anymore. And they did the same thing to Thundercats. I think the reboot of Thundercats was amazing. Great storyline, amazing artwork. Love the fact that they made Claudius, and they brought, I forget his name, but the original Lionel voice, they made him his voice, which was gr a great nod, to the past. And, that the show, again, it was another show that never got a proper ending. It's just episode's over. That's it. But with that show, and even with MYP, it was just like the New Adventure show. It was a continuing story. And I love that. To me, that's what Filmation, I think, got wrong. But then again, I don't think Filmation was going for that. I think Filmation was a one-off show for every show. So, and it worked. Again, it was a kid show, and it worked. I mean, how many of us were kids at the time it got hooked? I know I did overnight, pretty much instantly. Cats reboot, amazing. I really wish they would have did or a special movie on Cartoon Network or something just to bring closure. Netflix possibility, who knows? I really wish they would have did that. NYP, it would have been cool if they would have did something. Whether it be, hey, there he is. I would have just liked to see something like maybe they just the Masters did win an epic battle and there's peace. And that's how they ended it. You know, that would have been better than, just stopping and not going on. And look at you. Do I get one of
What?
those?
One of
You got your
what?
name
What do
on
you
the
mean?
screen.
Yeah,
You
well,
got
that's
your name
my
on the
camera
screen.
software that does that.
Sweet. Yeah, so
Welcome to the
ladies
Channel
and
9
gentlemen.
News.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Dirt here from Pop Culture Network. What's
You
up,
know,
Dirt?
I think you're onto something with Netflix, because Voltron has been a really popular program on Netflix. It's been a very big deal coming back, and the fact that
Right.
that is structured with a continuous storyline, because all the episodes are there. When a show is,
Right.
syndicated, or it's on something like Cartoon Network, where they don't guarantee a time slot and things can jump around, it's really tough to have that ongoing storyline. And they don't like those shows. The reason why a lot of those shows have disappeared is they just don't like doing them, because it's hard to get into that, like, 8 to 15 year old market with an ongoing storyline.
Right.
Cartoons where you can just watch them, it
Right.
doesn't matter what order you watch them in, whatever, those do a whole lot better. So I think Netflix, we've seen them bring back the shows, Masters of the Universe
Yes.
and She-Ra, and throw them on there. And it just, I do believe that that is them, dipping their toe in the water to see if there is interest there, because Voltron has been such a hit, they're probably looking for some more stuff to turn into a series, and those are ones that they could, easily work with. So I think
Definitely.
that's your
Hey.
best bet is going to be someplace like Netflix.
Yeah, and with the rumor of the She-Ra, whether I don't know if it's going to be a cartoon or a live action show, that supposedly is a perfect candidate for a Netflix type thing. Because
Yeah, and
you're going to get the whole season all at once. So to me, I think
right.
that's great.
I don't know about live action, because I just think the budgets on that would be difficult, with all the special effects
Yeah.
and sets
Oh,
and everything that
sure.
you'd have to do. But definitely as an animated series, I think that's almost a no-brainer, as something to
Oh,
throw together,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And again, I said it the last time, they brought it back. She-Ra and He-Man, the Filmation shows are back up on Netflix. So maybe it's a precursor to something. Maybe they're testing the waters again to see if they got any watchers, listen, whatever, viewers. It's something I know that there's plenty of people. I think there's more pop fans right now to see something come out. Because
I think
the
the one.
Masters will always resurface at some point in time with something. It's always a given. But Pop hasn't really had their own, platform since Princess of Power.
Yeah, I think
So.
the one thing that kind of works against Masters of the Universe is that for a long time, they have been the budget DVD releases. So you could walk into a Walmart or a Best Buy and pay $5 and get, the top 10 episodes of season one, or, what, $15 to get all of season one, season two, whatever. And so Netflix putting them on Netflix, I mean, for some people it's like, yay, it's easier, I don't have to dig out my discs. But for a lot of people, they look at it, they go, oh, I already have it, and so that may kind of cut down on the traffic a little bit when they do their metrics, trying to see how popular it is.
See, but the thing is with Netflix is that I enjoy it for the fact is that hey, I'm on the train or the bus or traffic. Go to Netflix, pop it on. It's always there. You don't have to worry about it being downloaded on your phone, taking up space. You just stream it. I hopefully it comes true. I think it'd be a really cool thing to have, and plenty of people will be happy. And then, along with the show, always comes merchandise, and that just equals dollars.
Yeah, and that's another thing too, is we've seen Voltron with the reemergence of the series on Netflix. We've seen toys, hitting
Yeah.
back into Toys R Us and Target and Walmart, and all these places are carrying the toys now, different sizes, different lines. They had the San Diego exclusives this year, so there's definitely a
Right.
lot of interest in the toys and the merchandising. So I'm sure, I forget who it was, but somebody bought the rights. Some
To
entertainment
Voltron?
company. No, to Masters of the Universe.
You're kind of breaking up. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I forget, someone bought the rights to all the Masters of the Universe
Okay.
The video library. I forget who it was.
I forget who it was as well. I want to say Sony, but I don't think that's right. But you know what it is?
DreamWorks?
It's a
Was it
dude.
DreamWorks?
Yes,
Man, now I can't
yes.
remember. Okay.
You're right. It was DreamWorks. You're right. I'm pretty sure that was it. That sounds very familiar.
And they're the ones behind Voltron.
It when you hear somebody buying the rights to what have you, the show or whatever, because it to me it seems like they have interest in it and they want to do something with the product. So to me, that always gets me a little excited. To get overexcited because I don't want to get my hopes up and nothing happens, and sometimes that's more than. You know, that's what really happens. People are kind of scared to go forward with stuff. But with Voltron, like you said, is a perfect example. It can open up a huge floodgate for all the 80s properties that are afraid to do something. And maybe they can look at this and say, hey, they're onto something. We're the same era, the same kids. Or, I mean, well, not kids, just say that time period where, you know, now we're all adults with jobs and money. Risk.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because part of it, I know there's going to be a little bit of trepidation from Mattel because of everything they went through with classics, and eventually pushing it over to Super 7. But you got to think that with what they spent to get, for DreamWorks to get the rights to it, for them to get Voltron and what they've turned Voltron into, they've got to be they must have plans. Sitting, they might probably a binder somewhere with all these different properties with ideas that they've brainstormed at some sort of meeting. And, with Voltron, was it season 3 that just came out? It's got to make them realize that it's time to push some of this other stuff.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, what I heard and understood was that G.I. Joe was the no, I'm sorry, Transformers. Transformers was the was it I forget the word I'm looking for, but the Transformers movie was basically the let's see what happens to these 80 properties on the big screen, and let's see if they can make it, and if they have a following. There is life for Thundercats, He-Man, Silverhawks, Blackstar, you know, all these other 80 cartoons that were pretty popular back in the day. They had toys, maybe TV movies or big screen movies, comics. So maybe it's time to bring that back, and that's pretty much what Thundercats, I'm sorry, Transformers was. And Transformers was pretty big. It made a lot of people go back and relive the Transformers. And now what are they up to, like movie 6 or something like that?
Right, but then
We
you
had the
also have
tur
stuff
we
like,
had
well, I was gonna say, you also have stuff like Battleship that didn't do anything. You had Max Steel that didn't go anywhere. You had Jim and the Holograms that didn't go
Yeah.
anywhere. So, I mean,
Yeah.
for
Well, Jim
every
and the
one that
Hawk.
succeeds.
Yeah, you're gonna have a few that fail.
Yeah. What were you gonna say about Jim and the Holograms, though?
They screwed that up. I watched it and I was kind of disappointed. They could have made that so much better than what it was. They really could have. Especially with today's technology and everything. They really could have did it better. Instead, they tried to make it like an emo. It was bad. It
Yeah,
was bad.
well, and like Power Rangers, that was a big deal, and that one didn't really go as far as they thought it would. So
Actually,
that I don't know if that would, that's gonna count as a disappointment. I don't know if it counts as a failure, but it's definitely a disappointment.
Oh yeah, I think that fake movie that they made online. I don't know if did you see it or not. That 10 minute with anything, you know, Haim Saban or anything like that. But so it's, you know, the guy from Dawson's Creek was in it. It was like a 10 minute movie that some guy made. It came out like 2 years ago, and I think that had
For
more
Power
hype.
Rangers?
Yeah. They actually it, there was naked girls in it. The guy was doing drugs. Then they had to take all that out.
Okay, then
They,
no, I haven't
yeah,
seen that.
it was, Actually, look it up. I think it's still on YouTube or whatever. It was really, really good. And I think that that did way better. That's what actually kickstarted that, really put them into high gear to make the movie, because they were like, wow, there's all this interest still in it. And this guy, just I forget who the director was, but he just wanted to make a fan film because he really liked the Power Rangers. So he did it himself, financed it himself, everything. It was really, really cool. And I'm not a fan of the Power Rangers, but it was cool. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. So that kind of put the spark and made them make that new movie.
Well, one thing I would like to see is I know that with the success of Voltron, there are the two other connectable robot properties that were merged in with Voltron early in the 80s. Let's see, there was Vehicle Voltron, and then there was the Gladiator Voltron, which was the six-armed
Right.
robot
Yeah.
guy. And I'm waiting for something to happen with both of those, too, because those are ones that they could also.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the Lions is popular enough. They'll bring back Vehicle, and then hopefully maybe we can see Gladiator down the line, or at least do a throwaway special appearance by him somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, well, they could even have them team up or fight each other, or this Voltron from this galaxy, that's from another one, and they have to, or whatever. But yeah, sometimes I think that people like you and I, we have better ideas, and we should be behind the desk, giving the director ideas, because there's so much information and things that they skip and forget that could pot. That's
Yeah,
just the way I look at
the
stuff.
one thing I'm worried about when I think about Masters of the Universe, though, is that the movie being in production limbo for so long is
Yeah,
it
yeah.
might be something that holds back another animated series, because they may not want to pull the trigger on doing an animated series if someone's still fighting over making the live action movie, and that could be something that hurts it. But again, like you said, if they focus on Pop instead of Masters of the Universe, that might be something that gives them, basically that introduction, gives them the ability to go ahead and go for it, and get something made, because then they're not fighting with the movie people over rights to some of the stuff.
Right. And the other thing too with Pop is that they really haven't done anything dedicated to that one property, so they can do so much with it. There's so much that they haven't done. Yeah, like you said, it's scary now. It's the Masters movie's been in limbo now for 10 years, 8 years. So I don't know if it's their expectations not coming about, or it's not good enough, or whatever the case is. It's scary at this point, because just make the damn thing ready. Put it out there. If it's not good, fix it. Make a part two. But with
Well, I
Pop,
almost
I
wonder if
believe they can't.
part of the fear. Well, no, go ahead, go ahead. What were you going to say about Pop?
No, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think one thing that probably scares them when they look at something like Masters of the Universe is what happened with John Carter. Because John Carter was this big, buff, strong guy in this alien world and these, magical creatures. And in a lot of ways, it was Conan, it was sci-fi mixed together, which has
Right.
always been the argument for Masters of the Universe. And that movie, there were a lot of problems with the production and with the marketing of it and things like that. But at the same time, the movie just it was a complete commercial failure, and that may be something else also that hurts a lot when it comes to trying to put the movie
Really?
together, because they're going to
Yeah.
say, "Hey, you already had this Conan sci-fi movie with John Carter, and they lost $100 million on it."
Right.
Masters of the Universe, they're probably fighting with budgets and trying to figure out how much they're actually willing to spend on this and how much things are going to cost. And they're getting
Oh,
scripts and they're
yeah.
going, "Okay, this is good, but we can't afford to do this," and everything like that. New Line Cinema, when they got
Right.
the rights to finally do Friday the 13th, and you knew they were going to do a Freddy versus Jason movie, it still took almost 10 years for that movie. It took
Oh,
longer.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It still took a long time for the movie to come out, and that was with properties that they owned. They had the rights to it. It was something they've wanted to do for a long time, but because they couldn't find just the right script, and they had some good scripts, they couldn't do a budget for them. They were like, "Hey, this is great, but we don't have this much money to
Right.
put into it." That's another thing that you got to look at with Masters of the Universe is that there's a lot of stuff that's
Yeah.
going to have to be either scaled back, or the CGI is just not going to look that great on it unless there's some more breakthroughs in processing the next couple of years.
Well, everything you're saying or said, Gary Goddard said about the 87 movie in the documentary or with the commentary, pretty much the same stuff. He had the problems with the CGI or this or that or whatever. So if they're still going through that, I would call Gary Goddard and get some opinions of what to do and what not to do. Mistakes that could be not made, or you can avoid them at this point in the game. Because if you do come through with a movie, you're going to want something that's going to please everybody by now, because everybody's at the edge of their seat waiting for this thing to come out or be made, or even a trailer, or I just want to see signatures on the piece of paper that this thing is going forward. And I think that would make a lot of people happy, and I think they'd make a lot of money in the movies. I think they would. I can't see why
The
not.
question, I mean, part of the question is how far do they want to push it towards the sci-fi and how far do they want to push it towards the Conan medieval type aspect of it? Because you could almost make the argument that if they played down the sci-fi elements and focused more on the fact that it's, barbarians and strong guys and magical
Yeah.
elements, you could make the argument that they could take Game of Thrones and just reuse a lot of the sets and props. And that stuff, and just every so often you've got this magical short sword that's going to shoot some lightning bolts at people, but for the most part it's going to be the guys with the furry boots fighting around big green rock castles.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And you know what? That's reusing sets and whatnot from other things is a big win for the production cast, production, whatever it's called, because that's less money in that budget, and they could put that money somewhere else,
Yeah,
in
well, I don't
CGI,
know that,
say, or something else like that.
I don't know that HBO necessarily would want to do that, but that show's going to end at
Yeah.
some point. So,
Yeah.
maybe someone will make a play for some of those
Yeah.
materials. But I mean, just simply taking the idea instead of it being, because when we got the '87 movie, they had the flying discs and the laser guns and all of that kind of stuff
Yep.
that pushed more for that sci-fi side. So if you say, hey, let's push it back towards the barbarian
Let's do it
side and the
differently.
medieval
Yeah.
side.
Yeah.
Then you're looking at a whole different process and a whole different budget, and you can just throw in some sci-fi elements here and there. You can have, a triclops with a robotic eye, and you can have a mechaneck with a, robotic neck, stuff like that. But you really
Yep.
don't have to push for all of that flying stuff quite as much.
Well, here's just a quick tidbit of information that, since we're talking about stuff like this, back with the Batman show that was on TV, the 66 series, when they got canceled, I believe from CBS. I forget which network had it, but let's just say CBS had it. They canceled the show. They destroyed the sets. Now, I believe it was either Channel 5 or Channel 11 said, "We want the show." When they found out that the sets were destroyed, they didn't go forward with it because they didn't want to spend all that money on the sets. So what you're saying is it helps out. If they can get those resources that are already made, or refurbish something, it helps out big time.
So anyway, that's just another thing to keep in mind is how far would you want to push Masters show
Yeah.
towards the sci-fi versus the barbarianism? Because that's another thing. And that's a lot of people make those when you talk about like what is Masters of the Universe. I've always liked the more of the barbarian mini comic style. I've
Me
always
too.
liked the stuff. Was No Adam, where he was the best warrior from his tribe, and he was summoned to the castle to be the protector. I like
Yes.
that stuff a little bit more than the idea of being the king's son with this alter ego, secret identity type stuff. But not that I have anything against it really, but I just kind of like that idea a little bit more. So again, they have lots of options when it comes to putting the show together
Oh.
and or movie or new cartoon
Yeah.
series or whatever. But it's just interesting to think about the different ways that they might be able to do that. But with it being DreamWorks, getting the rights to it, being DreamWorks, the people behind the Voltron series, you got to think that they're looking at that library going, we got to do something with one of these properties. And
I 100% agree with you. Put yeah. two and two together. And to go out on a limb and go and property like that, just to sit on the shelf, to me, that's, you know, at this point in the game, whoever owns those, they you know, the fans probably already own the box sets that already been out 3 or 4 times. So, I mean, you're not going to make a lot of money with that. So what's left to do but progress, come out with something new. And I think that's what they should do. I really do.
All right, well, you got any other topics for tonight, or are you ready to wrap it up?
We can wrap it up. I appreciate you being on. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
We'll talk about your special guest for next week. What's going on next week?
Yeah, you want to drop the bomb?
No, go ahead, because I don't know how to pronounce his name, and I'm sure I'll say it wrong, so you go ahead and do it.
All right. To all you wafflers out there, we're having a special guy join our team. I don't know how to actually pronounce his last name without butchering it, just like my last name, but he's known as Johnny Miz. He actually just came out and created the eBay.com, and you know, he's got his own waffling thing going, and he's going to be a part of our show starting next week. He's on a vacation this week. He really wanted to do the show, but, you know, family's first. So looking forward to starting a new crew next week. So John will be on the show. So everybody, I hope you look looking forward to it.
And a couple of people have asked about Aaron Johnson. He's not gone, but his work schedule has kind of changed right now. They're in the season where there's a lot of processing and stuff going on at his work. So Mondays and Tuesdays, he's usually at work until, well, later than now, even most of the time.
Yeah,
so he
yeah.
just, so, you know, he's just trying to work through it. So once his work schedule eases up a little bit, then he'll be back on Mondays.
Yeah. Well, we're going to, we'll talk, and maybe we can or do it another night. Well, we're going to figure it out, guys. We're going to figure it out. But I'd like to say thank you, Dirt, for joining me. Again, thank you, Pop Culture Network. Just want to say, guys, if you want to listen to this or any past shows, go to motgpodcast.com. They're all up there. You can enjoy if you're working out, taking a jog, bored. Don't want to listen to your kids scream? Put the podcast on. come and visit the Master of the Galaxy Facebook page. And until next time, guys, rock on, man. Thanks.